Hello, C-Town, and welcome to my podcast, Keeping It Real with Kenny Rota. Glad to be able to still reach out and keep in touch with you via this crazy technology that we've got today. We'll be doing podcasts, we're not sure yet, on a daily basis, a weekly basis. I guess maybe whenever I feel like I want to do a podcast. That's the great thing about this. I can do it based on what's happening in Cleveland sports and in the world of sports. And you can check out these podcasts on my new webpage, www.kennyrota.com. My buddy Jay Goodman from Skinny Moo, that outstanding cover band from Cleveland, the best in the area, he's helped me put together this webpage. It's going to get bigger and better as we progress. So keep checking kennyrota.com for the podcasts and all kinds of other things. And you can continue to follow me. Where my Twitch is at? I be missing my Twitches. Twitches, you can continue to follow me at the Kenny Rota. That's my new Twitter handle, at the Kenny Rota. And you can also reach out on Facebook, Kenny Rota on Facebook. So looking forward to doing these podcasts. And let's start this first one talking about the Cleveland Browns and what they've done to get ready for this 2013 season. They made their cuts. There are still some moves that have to be made, like finding a kicker. They don't have one right now. They're trying guys out as I'm doing this podcast today. So don't know who their kicker's going to be. But yeah, that's kind of an important role, don't you think? A guy that can put 3 points on the board for you, a guy that kicks extra points, that's another point, that's 4 points that could be added to your final score as a football team in the National Football League. Hopefully they'll find a kicker by September 8th, first game of the year when they take on the Miami Dolphins. But kicker isn't the only position that concerns me for the 2013 Cleveland Browns. Let's take a look at the various positions that are a concern right now. Brandon Weeden at quarterback, still a concern. Yes, he's the starter on this team, but how good of a starter is he? We don't know. He's going to get the opportunity to be the game one starter. How long of a leash Chud will give him, I'm not sure. That's going to be based on how Weeden plays, what North Turner feels, what Chud feels as the season progresses, but it's an unknown for the Cleveland Browns at the quarterback position. Don't know what Brandon Weeden is capable of. So we're going to find that out as this season progresses. And as we all know, the quarterback position is what? The most important position in all of sports. Not just football, in all of sports. And that's the biggest question mark, I think, that surrounds this Cleveland Browns team. Do they have a quarterback that can lead them to the playoffs? Not this year. They're not making the playoffs this year. But build to leading them into the playoffs in the future. And I can't give you a yes or no answer on that with Brandon Weeden. And if I'd have to lean to one side or the other, it would be more towards the no side. And that's not a good thing when you consider the division they play in. Quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, both won Super Bowls, and Andy Dalton with the Cincinnati Bengals, who, while he hasn't won a playoff game, he's played in 2 playoff games. So it all starts and ends pretty much right there with the quarterback position. So an audition year, an audition maybe game by game for Brandon Weeden this year. Right guard is still up for grabs right now with the injuries to Sean Laval and Jason Pinkston. Is O'Neal Cousins going to be able to handle the right guard position, or are they going to have to give that up to Gilkey, the rookie? That's a question mark for this Browns team. The other big, big question mark is at cornerback opposite Joe Haden. Right now, Buster Skrine on the depth chart is listed as the number one cornerback opposite of Joe Haden. That scares the living daylights out of me because Skrine got beat how many times last year giving up big plays? If he doesn't get beat, he gets penalized. He's short, and so you know teams are going to stay away from Joe Haden and attack whoever Buster Skrine is covering. And I would do the same thing. Is Chris Owens going to be healthy enough to maybe step in and replace Buster Skrine? Will he start opening day? That's still a possibility. Still a huge question mark at the right cornerback position for the Cleveland Browns. And right now, Tashawn Gibson is the starting safety over there opposite TJ Ward. That is a huge question mark. So the secondary on defense is by far the weakest part of this defense. The strength, the guys up front, Ataba Rubin, Phil Taylor, Desmond Bryant, you add in Billy Wynn, John Hughes, and Ismaili Kitchen as their backups. A nice six-man rotation that the Browns have there. The linebackers have improved over last year. Ray Horton switching to this 3-4 needed better linebackers. They got them in Paul Kruger, and they went out, and they also brought in some help at the linebacker position in the draft with Barkevious Mingo. Although he's out, we don't know when he's going to be back because of that bruised lung. They did upgrade the position. You have the returning guys in DeQuell Jackson and Jabal Sheard, Craig Robertson. That's the starting linebacking core right now for the Browns. So that's not too bad. I still need to see if Jabal Sheard can play with his hand up and cover people. And was Kruger a product of the Baltimore Ravens defense, or can he thrive and really excel as a leader on the Browns defense? We'll see there, but it is an upgrade over last year on the linebacking core. It's just that secondary opposite TJ Ward and Joe Hayden that are huge question marks for the Cleveland Browns on defense. Some other question marks with the Browns when you look at it. The punter, right now the job is Spencer Lanning's, his first year with the Browns. I don't know anything about this guy. Can he handle the pressures of punting in Cleveland? Because usually the punter punts a lot. Remember when Chris Gardocki was the most valuable player on the Cleveland Browns? If it wasn't Gardocki, who was it? It was Phil Dawson. It was either the punter or the kicker. That's how bad the Browns were as far as the MVP of the team. Well, Spencer Lanning and whoever the kicker, maybe it's Kickalicious that they bring in here. Who knows? Whoever the punter and kickers are, they're going to have a big role on this Cleveland Browns football team. And the other one that's getting overlooked, that's not being talked about as a huge question mark, in my opinion, for the Browns, is the fullback position. They've got a running back turned fullback, an undersized running back as the starting fullback on this football team in Obi-Wan Kenobi. Chris Obanaya is your starting fullback. I give him all the credit in the world for trying to do this. He wanted to make the roster. He's going to do whatever he can to make this roster. So if they say, hey, Chris, your better chance of making this roster is if you go out and you play fullback for him. He's doing that, but he's undersized. He's going to get mauled and run over by the bigger defensive linemen or the blitzing linebackers that he's going to have to get picked up. So that's a huge question mark with a lot of question marks, as you can tell, from the Cleveland Browns 2013 roster that they have finally decided on. Again, they can still upgrade it by picking up other teams' players that they cut, but how good is that? I mean, guys that weren't good enough for somebody else, unless it's the Super Bowl champions or the playoff teams that release guys, how much are those guys really going to help you? So the fullback position is a huge question mark, in my opinion, with the Cleveland Browns. And also, the depth on this football team at running back. When you look at Trent Richardson, he's supposed to be the feature back in this offense this year. He's supposed to be the LaDainian Tomlinson of the Browns. That's what North Turner wants to do with Trent Richardson. And last year he played in 15 out of 16 games, but he was dinged up, he was banged, he was hurt all season long pretty much. And the question about Trent Richardson is not, is he talented enough to play in this league? We know he is. He can run it, he can catch it, he's a decent blocker, but can his body withstand the punishment, especially if you're going to be featured in an offense that you're going to get 300 to 350 touches. Can his body withstand the punishment in this type of an offense? And if not, and I'm looking, and I had to print this out today, I'm looking at his backups. Dennis Johnson, I don't even know who that is, and Bobby Rainey. Guys, they just picked up off the scrap heap as the backup running backs right now for the Cleveland Browns. Now, again, that may change, and hopefully it will. But that's who you have behind Trent Richardson. What if he goes down in game 1 against the Dolphins? Do you move Obanaya to the starting running? Probably, right? And then bring somebody else in at fullback? I mean, big question mark surrounding the depth at the running back position for the Cleveland Browns. So when you put all of this together with the roster, okay, lack of depth, so many different question marks, add in that Rob Chudzinski, as much as I like what I've seen from Chud so far, add in that Rob Chudzinski is a first-time ever head coach, and oh yeah, that's happening in the National Football League. that's something that has to be monitored throughout the year as well, to go along with all the question marks at various positions for the Cleveland Browns. He surrounded himself with two very good coordinators, North Turner on offense, Ray Horton on defense, and Chris Tabor's a good special teams coach. He's improved over the last few years. So at least he has some solid coaches around him, but still, he's a first-time ever head coach, and that raises another question mark around this season and these Cleveland Browns. Then look at the schedule. The six division games are tough. Browns play the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals two times each. So that's six division games right there. Can the Browns go 500 in the division this year? That would be a major step forward if they were able to do that. More than likely, I think 2-4 would be best case scenario, beating the Bengals and the Steelers one time. That's the way I'm looking at it, but it's a tough division to play in. And then look at the games that they have on the road. They're at Minnesota, they're at Green Bay, they're at New England, and with Andy Reid taking over in Kansas City, that's not going to be an easy game either, and that one's at KC. So you've got some tough road games. You mix in the Bears at home along with the division games that you play right there. This is not an easy schedule. Now, there are very, very easy games on this schedule that jump out at you. Miami should be an easy game. You would think so, although Miami's probably thinking the same thing about the Browns on opening day. Oh, geez, we're going to Cleveland to start the season? No problem. That's a win for us. Well, the Browns are probably thinking it's the Dolphins with Tannehill at court. The Dolphins improved in the offseason. They made some serious free agent acquisitions and moves, but still, to me, that's a winnable game for the Browns. Then you've got the Bills and the Jaguars at home, and then you go to the Jets. I just mentioned three teams that are going to be battling along with the Raiders for the top overall pick in the draft, whether that's Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback or Jadeveon Clowney. I guarantee you that the Bills and the Jaguars and the Jets will be battling for that number one or number two pick in the NFL draft. So luckily for the Browns, they've got the Bills, Jags, and Jets on their schedule to go along with the Dolphins. Then you throw in the Detroit Lions to round out the schedule. So when I look at the schedule, when I look at a first-year ever head coach, when I look at all the question marks surrounding some starters as well as the depth, I look at the Cleveland Browns for 2013. They were 5-11 last year. For 2013, I think the Browns can improve on that maybe by a game or two at most. I'm going to say 6-10 for the 2013 Cleveland Browns based on that Bills, Jags, Jets, Dolphins package, that they should go at least 3-1 in those games and then find three wins somewhere else. So Kenny Rhoda's prediction, 6-10. Maybe 7-9. I think they top out at 7-9 this year. We'll see where the Cleveland Browns go as this season unfolds. Hopefully they stay healthy and make progress. And don't forget, too, we didn't even mention this, the first two games where you've got the Dolphins at home and then you're on the road at Baltimore, you're without Josh Gordon. And that's a huge absence at the wide receiver position. Think back to last year when Joe Hayden was suspended for the first four games of the season. They didn't win any of those, right? Hayden missed five total games last year. They were 0-5 in those games. So that's how important Joe Hayden was to the defense last year. I think Josh Gordon is almost as important to the offense. So those first two games without Josh Gordon, that's going to hurt the Browns offense. So put all that together. Let's wrap it up and finalize our thoughts here on the Browns in 2013. I see them going 6-10 this year. All right, one other thing I wanted to add to this first podcast ever here on KennyRhoda.com. Chris Perez, the Indians closer. The Indians, I don't even want to get into them. They've been disappointing as of late, this nine-game stretch that we warned you about. They've won one time so far with two games left against the Orioles. And with Bat Masterson going down with the abdominal or rib injury or whatever it was, it's not looking good for the Indians making the playoffs. But enough on that. Chris Perez pleads no contest today in court to a drug abuse charge and is found guilty. And here's what his sentence is. He was fined $250. He doesn't have to serve any jail time. He's on probation / community supervision, whatever that means. If he has to pee in a cup and it comes back positive, I'm sure other charges, or I should say his sentence, could be changed. But he will have to pee in a cup whenever they want him to. They can ask him at any point in time to pee in a cup and test it, or take a hair follicle and test it. And if that comes back positive, then this sentence could be changed. But no jail time, probation, community supervision. He's got to complete the MLB drug program. And how about this? Chris Perez has to present a speech to Rocky River High School students on the dangers of drugs. I want to be in that room when he gives that speech. I want to hear that speech. Allegedly, this guy, let me say that nice and clear. Allegedly, got to throw that in there for safety purposes. Allegedly, you know, this is a guy that enjoys smoking the ganja, the wacky tobacco, the weed, the marijuana, right? And he's going to go in and he's going to speak to a class at Rocky River High School, the students there, about how dangerous drugs are. You think they're going to believe him after the coverage that this story gets? Anyways, that's his sentence for Chris Perez. Now, his wife, Melanie, she says she doesn't smoke the ganja. She's not doing bong hits or you know, taking a toke here and there, not partying at all. And so what they're doing with his wife, Melanie, is they're giving her allegedly a hair follicle test to prove that her word is accurate, that she doesn't smoke the ganja. And if, yeah, man, I don't smoke the ganja, man. If she doesn't smoke the ganja and the follicle, hair follicle, the test comes back negative, then allegedly the charges will be dropped against her. But my concern here is what's going to happen to Brody Baum, the dog? Because that's who the package was sent to, right? No word yet on the sentence for the dog, Brody Baum. That's where this all started, right? The package was shipped to Brody Baum, mailed to Chris Perez's household, but under the name of Brody Baum. So I haven't heard anything as to what's going to happen with Brody Baum. Not sure if he has to pee in a cup instead of a fire hydrant. No word if his sentence will be in dog years as opposed to human years. Hopefully the judge won't be too rough, rough, rough on the dog, Brody Baum. And on that note, we will end our first ever podcast here on KennyRhoda.com. Hope you enjoyed it. I miss you, Twitches. I miss the fans of Northeast Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. But this is a way for me to stay in touch with you via the podcast on KennyRhoda.com, via Twitter. Come on, Twitches, bring it strong. And if you have any ideas for a future podcast that you'd like me to do, hit me up on Twitter at my new Twitter handle, at the Kenny Rhoda, and you can also do so on Facebook. Follow me there on Facebook, Kenny Rhoda on Facebook. Hopefully you've enjoyed episode one of Keeping It Real with Kenny Rhoda. And as always, C-Town, that's why we called it Keeping It Real. Please do keep it real. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.